I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your promises to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
I was thinking when Jim was saying that about the bagpipes, maybe bagpipes are Presbyterian penance for something. Every single Presbyterian church I've served on Reformation Sunday has bagpipes. It just is. So today we return to the lectionary's gospel reading, and today the reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. So before we read this passage, I want to talk a little bit about parables. Parables are short stories in Scripture that Jesus told to teach his disciples something about the kingdom of God. Often their meaning is obscure, and they sometimes leave us with more questions than answers. Today's parable is different in that Luke's author told his audience exactly what the parable meant. So listen for the meaning of the parable and listen for what Jesus was teaching us about the kingdom of God. This is the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Listen for God's word to you. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to the judge and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to the chosen ones who cry to God day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them, and yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. So have you ever been on the receiving end of the kind of persistence that the widow inflicted on the unjust judge? Soon after buying my first house, a friend and I went to a home show. You know, one of those shows held in a big event center where every business associated with home building and home repairs sets up booths to show off their skills and try to sell their services. I still have a couple of yardsticks from that event. Anyway, there were lots of businesses there trying to sell new windows, and my new slash old house was built in 1950, and it needed new windows. So I foolishly signed up with lots of those businesses. I remember at the time my friend, who was a much more experienced homeowner than I, gently asked, are you sure you want to give them your phone number? But I was caught up in the moment, and I gave them all my information, not once considering the future consequences. And the consequences quickly followed. There were so many, many phone calls, trying to schedule appointments to sell me new windows, never-ending phone calls at all hours of the day and night. So finally, I moved and left no forwarding phone number. Maybe that's how the judge felt about the widow in Jesus' parable. And maybe that's why he finally gave in and granted her justice. The text is clear about the judge's character or his lack thereof. He neither feared God nor had respect for people. which is an ugly charge against a judge at any period of history, but it was especially serious in a religious context. In scripture, the judge's job was to hear people's complaints impartially and in accordance with God's law to render a fair judgment. The judge's mission and duty was to restore shalom to the community. Shalom. Now, shalom is a weighty word in Hebrew. In its most basic sense, shalom means peace, but it also means well-being, wholeness, and completeness. The judge was meant to restore peace between the widow and her adversary, but also to contribute to their well-being. His judgment was meant to bring wholeness and completeness to a situation that clearly had none of those things, not for the widow anyway. Just as the judge had a specific role in his community, so did the widow. Scripture often speaks of widows and orphans. The two words go together, representing the poor, the oppressed, and the powerless in society. God had compassion on Israel when she was enslaved in Egypt. Israel was meant to show that same compassion to widows and orphans. This story carries extra weight because Jesus called the woman a widow. It's almost as if the judge was a villain in a melodrama, wearing a cape, laughing fiendishly while twirling his mustache. Maybe Jesus exaggerated these characters, choosing the worst sort of villain who was oppressing the most innocent sort of victim in order to emphasize his point. Last year, some friends and I went to see a movie called Thelma. Has anybody seen it? June Squibb was the main actor. It's a wonderful movie. I highly recommend it to you. And Squibb was 94 years old at the time she starred in this movie. Thelma's story seems to me a modern take on the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. In the beginning of the film, Thelma receives a phone call in which her beloved 20-something grandson is in a panic, claiming to have been arrested and in need of $10,000 bail. It was a scam. That was not really her grandson on the phone. He was safe and well, but it was too late. Thelma had already sent the money. Neither the bank nor the police could help her. When her family discovered what happened, they advised her to let it go, but Thelma could not leave it alone. She was outraged and determined to get her money back. She wanted justice, and she had a friend with a mobility scooter, which she borrowed and drove all over the city looking for her money. Many improbable adventures later, Thelma found the scammers and got some justice. Like the widow, she refused to accept what happened. Thelma pushed and pushed and pushed until she got justice. And don't we all wish that justice was so available for widows and 94-year-old grandmothers who've been scammed? So what was the point of the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge? What was Jesus trying to teach his disciples and us about the kingdom of God? The author gave away the plot point at the beginning of the parable, writing, "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Pray always and do not lose heart," which is so much easier said than done. Jesus reminded them that the judge gave in because he was tired of the widow's pleas. He was worn out and wanted her to stop, and so he finally granted her justice. Jesus said, "And will not God grant justice to the chosen ones who cry to God day and night? Will God delay long in helping them?" And then Jesus emphasized the point again. "I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them." So according to Jesus, unlike the judge, God will quickly grant justice. Have you found this to be true? Does your life experience prove the point of this parable? The other day, I saw the most disturbing and painful news footage of two ICE officers trying to arrest a Latino man in Chicago. Even while watching this previously recorded event, I was praying as hard as I could, and it sounded like this: oh Jesus, please, please, please help that man. And miraculously, the officers gave up, and the man was not arrested that day. But plenty more people were arrested that day and have been every day since that incident. And I'm sure that their families, friends, and even strangers witnessing these things were begging God to help them. The Bible speaks to this kind of heartbreak. Listen to Psalm 22, the psalm that Jesus quoted on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh, God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. And reading that psalm, we are in the deep water, aren't we? Asking the really hard questions. In this parable, Jesus promised justice. Jesus promised that unlike the unjust judge, God will grant justice without delay. And yet, far too often, that is not how life works. We cry out for justice, and there's no answer, and sometimes no justice. It's tempting in this situation to equate God with the unjust judge in the story. It's tempting to assume that God is the judge, that God is the one denying justice to the innocent widow. But what if that is not true at all? What if it is the opposite? What if God is the widow in this story? And what if God is persistently crying for justice, long delayed and denied? And if God is not the judge, could it be that we are the judge, that we are the ones delaying and denying justice? This is not my interpretation. I found this suggestion in several commentaries. Debbie Thomas, who wrote this book, Into the Mess and Other Jesus Stories, said it this way: Jesus describes the judge as a man who neither fears God nor has respect for people. Can I honestly say that I never fit this description? Can I profess that I'm never indifferent, irritable, closed off, or unsympathetic? She goes on to say, Scripture attests to the fact that God not only hears the cries of the helpless, God is in the cries of the helpless. God dwells with the unseen, the unheard, unloved, and unwanted. If we are indeed often the judge and not the widow, but don't want to be the unjust judge, then how do we escape that role? Debbie Thomas suggests, first of all, that we work for justice, that is part of our call as followers of Jesus Christ, and that we wrestle with God, that we invite God into our real lives in all their beauty and pain, asking God our hardest questions and seeking healing and wholeness, shalom for all. Life with God requires persistence. Prayer requires persistence. In my previous call, we had a weekly staff meeting. And at the beginning of the meeting, we passed out the written prayer requests that we received in worship the Sunday before, and then we took turns praying for those requests. There was one request that we received almost every week. The prayer request was for healing for a son suffering from physical and mental illness. And over the course of serving in the same church for a very long time, pastors get to know their parishioners. So even though this request was unsigned, we knew who it was. We knew it was a mother requesting prayer for her unstable and unwell son. So one week, one of our colleagues said something like this: I'm tired of praying for this request week after week. knowing that nothing ever changes, and it probably never will. This was not a heartless person speaking. This was someone who got tired, someone who felt hopeless that particular day, someone who was ready to give up on this mother and her son. Another colleague who knew the situation well spoke up and said simply, "Give it to me. I'll pray for this one." Fred Craddock, who was a great American preacher and a teacher of preaching, said this about this parable. "Until you have stood for years knocking at a locked door, your knuckles bleeding, you do not really know what prayer is." Until you have stood for years knocking at a locked door, your knuckles bleeding, you do not really know what prayer is. That is the witness of this parable. That is the witness of that mother who would not stop praying for her son. That is the witness of the widow who demanded and finally achieved justice. And that is the lesson that Jesus was teaching us about the kingdom of God. Pray always and do not lose heart. Even when the problem seems impossible and unchangeable, pray always and do not lose heart. Amen.